647.
So we tell them we are the union. We are the union.
We got a strike. We got another strike. Auto workers this time. United Auto Workers and the big three automakers didn't get to the deal last night, so we got the pickets at a few plants. General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. Stellantis now. How big is this win? Are you going to notice? Dr. Greg DeYoung, Southern Illinois University with us. Thanks for being here. So I mentioned three plants because that's sort of what's being talked about first today. This is not everybody. This is not 146,000 workers. This is a much smaller group. So can we kind of glean anything from that? Or is this just like, hey, we're starting slow and then we're going to ramp it up and win slash if it ramps up, that's when everybody starts to notice?
Well, thanks for having me. And it's going to be a very academically interesting strike because this is really historically unprecedented between the fact that the UAW has never struck against all three of the big three at the same time. Plus, like you said, it's a limited strike. So even though about 10% of the workers are on strike, the rest are still working. So it'll be it's a very different negotiating tactic from the union's perspective. And it will be really interesting to see how it works out. And frankly, it's fairly unpredictable at this point.
So what would be the ripple effects then for us here on the West Coast as far as seeing the effects of the strike right now? Like you said, it's small, but if this does grow, how is it going to manifest for us here?
Well, certainly where they're starting with the strike is all light trucks and SUV production, which of course is the most profitable segments for the big three, which means that it's already got an impact on consumers fairly quickly because those are the vehicles that we're purchasing. So there is about a 60-day roughly supply, depending upon which manufacturer you're looking at. But right away, the supplies will start to tighten up. I'm sure that dealers will start holding out for better prices as they're selling new vehicles. And of course, it trickles down into used vehicles as well, fairly quickly on the consumer side. If this expands out, then it's going to become a bigger issue for other vehicles, sedans, and also commercial vehicles. Of course, the biggest issue isn't necessarily the striking workers, but everybody else that gets put out of work down the supply chain with the parts suppliers and the local service businesses and everybody else that starts to feel the pinch real quickly when the sort of work stoppage starts.
Doesn't seem like they're onto the parts yet, but that could be, you know, further on down the line.
Oh, absolutely. Down the line, the union has certainly indicated that this could expand or at least roll to different plants. So I think we're certainly going to see this as expand if it turns into a long or drawn out negotiation.
So if I have a car on order right now, like a Bronco or a Jeep, what are my chances that I'm actually going to be able to take delivery on a car if this continues?
Well, typically when a car's on order, it's probably just coming from a different dealer, which, you know, hopefully means that you'll still get that car. Of course, the dealers have to agree to send the car. So, you know, if I'm a dealer holding onto a Jeep and I know that I want to sell it, I may not be willing to trade it to another dealer without some sort of compensation involved. So it's going to tighten up the market even on the existing cars that are sitting on the lot. Of course, if you're looking for a new Jeep being built in Toledo that hasn't been constructed yet, it's not going to happen until the strike is over at this point.
The asks from the UAW, I mean, the headlines are, you know, the big 40% pay hikes over a number of years, 4-day work weeks for some of these workers. The companies say, hi, yeah, we can't afford that, guys. I wonder, though, even among other unions who want to see unions succeed because they say it lifts everybody up, is there a danger in when you have that kind of stuff on the list that you get other people being really disillusioned because they say, well, that's just clearly not realistic?
Well, you always wonder in negotiations like this, which of these are bargaining chips and which are the people really willing to hold tight to? And you know, I think with the inflationary times that we're in here, where fuel prices have doubled since the last union contract, mortgage rates have doubled, even the price of new vehicles is up 50% since the last time the union signed a contract, the workers are just feeling the pinch financially. So I think they're going to hold pretty tight on the financial side of things in terms of pay. I think the 32-hour work week for 40 hours of pay, that, you know, to me, that seems more like a negotiating point than an actual, you know, we're not going to end this strike without that concession, because it's such a radical change in the way that the business would be operated. You know, other things like pension changes and changes in the tiered work structure and how fast people become fully qualified workers. Those are things that will probably be discussed, and there'll probably be some meeting in the middle. But you know, given the recent successes of some of the unions in terms of pay increases. If you look at UPS or the pilots union, I would expect them to hold fairly tight to their demands on actual pay at this point, for sure.
Dr. Greg DeYoung, Southern Illinois University. Thanks for talking to us. We'll have more coming up in just a few minutes.